This is Cornerstone Baptist Church, a ministry built on faith, family, and fellowship. We now join the exciting teaching and preaching ministry of Pastor Dwight McKissick. Now, here's Pastor McKissick.
The Bible's to Nehemiah 5. Thank you, Brother Eugene Thompson, for reading God's Word today. And I want us to consider the subject today, the reality and remedy for money problems. The reality and the remedy for money problems. As I was praying over the message today, I was working on another one on Obed-Edom. I'm going to preach it 2 weeks from today. I may even do it like I did Ham. Instead of me being Ham, I'm going to be Obed-Edom next time. Somebody need to buy me another Israeli or African outfit to wear that Sunday. But God led my heart to believe, to this text, and to believe that I'm preaching to at least one somebody who has a serious, serious money problem. And you came to church today looking for a word from God. Because if you don't get a word from God, your money problem is going to turn into a legal problem. It's going to turn into a help problem. And create a family crisis for you. Every one of us can relate to financial challenges. At one point, Donald Trump himself filed bankruptcy. At some point in your life, if you haven't already, you will face a money crisis. The reality is, somebody in this house today, this is not just another sermon. You haven't paid March mortgage or March rent, March utility bills. You're in a money crunch right now as I speak. And the Bible says that Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus has a message for those of us who are having some money challenges. And the gospel is good news. There's something inherent in the message of the Bible that will help us if we believe it and apply it. If we're having a money problem. And anybody who has more need than they have money to meet that need can be considered, in one sense, poor. I don't care what kind of car you're driving, what kind of house you're living in, what kind of clothes you're wearing. If you got more need than you got money, in one sense, you're poor. You're upside down. A lot of us live off of borrowed prosperity, but that will catch up with you. The bills become due. In verse 1 of Nehemiah chapter 5, we see the reality and the impact of money problems. It says, and there was a great outcry of the people. Why was there a great outcry of the people? Because the people had some serious money problems. And when people's money gets funny and their change gets strange, it can cause an emotional reaction. Your blood pressure can go up just because of bills. Heart attacks and strokes have occurred to people. I remember reading about a couple who committed suicide because they had a $70,000 IRS bill, didn't see how they could pay it, so the husband shot the wife, then shot himself, all because of a money issue. When checks are bouncing and credit cards are maxed out and the telephone is disconnected and you got to pay the light bill too, and on top of that the rent is due, and it makes you want to cry out. Somebody ought to cry out today, says, "Oh Lord, bless me indeed." Money problems can produce agony or anxiety in a person's heart if they don't handle it correctly. And you don't help yourself by avoiding it and not opening letters and not answering the telephone. That don't solve the problem. Telling your kids to tell them mama not here, that don't fix nothing. How many of you know you can't fix what you don't face? You got to face these money issues head on. I knew I'd been cheating on my diet the other day, and so I didn't want to get on the scales because the scales weren't going to lie. I can lie to myself, and some of y'all lie to me. Say, "Oh, Pastor, you're looking good. You lost weight." Knowing I just gained 5 pounds, I said, "Thank you, God." But I was going to avoid the scales, and the Lord said, "Get on them." I said, "Oh, Lord, I don't want to know. Get on them." And true enough, the scales confirmed what I knew. But that was the moment I decided right then to get on my bicycle. I was going to eat right that day. I began to fix it because I faced it. Somebody in the house today need to face their money issues. Need to face them straight up. Head up, because once you face it, you will begin the process of fixing it. Money problems affect the entire family. Listen to what the text says. There was an outcry of the people and their wives. Money or lack thereof can affect the marriage relationship. Finance impacts romance. Money or lack thereof can affect your honey. If a man got enough money, he can look awful good to a lady. You can call a man a dog, long as you call him a big dog. Money problems causes us to look for someone else to blame it on. I mean, when our checks are bouncing, our bills are due, telephone disconnected, things are going bad for us, we really want to point the finger at somebody. If I had married him, if I had married her. Or we want to blame the Republicans, or we want to blame the Democrats, or we want to blame somebody when we got money problems. Husband blame wives, wives blame husbands. You get angry with the job. If they paid me more money, they don't appreciate me. You get mad at the children or the children's daddy for not paying child support or paying enough child support. You get angry with the church. They told me if I tithed, the Lord would bless me. Church got all my money. Let's tell the truth. When our money gets funny, we begin to look at somebody to want to pin the blame on. Am I right about it? It can never be my management issue. We won't say it. It can never be that I didn't save in good time, knowing that one day tough times are going to come. It can never be that I lived at or above my income, not realizing that one day things could change. It's always somebody else's fault. Let's look a little close at that money problem. Look at verse 2. It says, "For there were those who said, We are sons and our daughters are many. Got a big family, Lord. I got children to feed, wife to feed. When I'm married, daddy sometimes says, if you can't feed her, son, just bring her back home. And I promised my father-in-law, she may go back home, but it won't ever be because I can't feed her. Look at me. If I don't get nothing else, I'm going to get some food. My dad had taught me how to raise a garden. But we, McKissick's, we never went hungry. Lights had been out, water had been cut off, car was gone. We had used to have to literally walk to school and church, went through a period without car, but we had food. Matter of fact, mama would can and store food in the summer and in the fall. And we go to the freezer all winter and pull out squash and okra and pea. We eat all winter off the stuff daddy raised in the summer. Hey, thank you, Lord, for mama and daddy. We have large families, they say, and we don't have enough to eat. And when you're hungry and don't have any money, you got a crisis. You got a problem. Number two, they said, look at verse 3. We are having to mortgage our homes and our property to get grain. Verse 2 says, verse 3, there were also some who said, we have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine. And when you got a mortgage and you can't service that mortgage debt, that's a huge problem, because when you get late, they add more penalties and charges. They call and they write. They come by and knock on the door. How do I know? I've been there. I was 5 days short of getting my house foreclosed. This was in the 80s, but I going through all those emotions, trying to hide it from my wife. Don't want her to feel the pain and the pressure. So I always believe, husbands, I deal with the creditors. I deal with the bill collectors. I never let my wife handle it. I always handle that. You are the man in that house. Stop putting your wife up to deal with it. You deal with it. Now, it's like I tell them, don't talk to my wife. You talk with me. Then I get real humble and say, I ain't got no money. Would you please wait until? Mortgage was a problem. In the recent years, a lot of people have had mortgage problems because I was like that, you was like that. We were all greedy. We wanted more house than we could afford. We didn't put enough down on it. We financed it for too many years. Wall Street was greedy. They were giving folk mortgages they knew couldn't afford them. Almost have wrecked and bankrupted the whole country. Everybody was greedy, but payday is coming someday. Not only did they have a famine, a food shortage, and a money crunch because of they mortgaged their lands, but they also had taxes to pay. Look at verse 4. There were also those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards. Mortgage company calling, the tax man is calling, the refrigerator and the pantry is empty. So much so, in verse 4, we're having to sell our sons and daughters.
Verse 5. Yet now our flesh is as flesh of our brethren, our children as their children's. And we indeed, we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be what? Slaves. American law doesn't allow folk to take your children because you owe them money. And some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them. We don't even have the money to buy them back out of slavery. For other men have our lands and our vineyards because we couldn't pay our mortgage. But what happens today, they don't come take our daughters and our sons and put them in slavery because we can't pay our debts. But why are we trying to pay for 4 big screen TVs? And why are we trying to pay for 300 channels on our cable TV? Why we're trying to pay for all the fancy gadgets, technology that come out every other week? We're working sometime 2 and 3 jobs, and our children are raising themselves. They get out of school and they go home. Most girls lose their virginities in their mama's house. And that's because mama's not there. She's at work. Our children are suffering because of our monetary and economic situations, decisions we're making. Two parents are working because we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, and the Joneses keep moving. You know, some of us are really going to have to go back to simple things. I would have a less of a financial challenge. Some of you would if we learn to just live a more simpler life. Can't wear but 1 suit of clothing at a time. Can't drive but 1 car at a time. Can't look at but 1 TV at a time. Americans, we are really, really spoiled. Somebody has convinced us we got to have all this stuff. And somebody remember when you had no TV in the house, you were glad to have a black and white with rabbit ears. Somebody know what I'm talking about. These young folk don't know what rabbit ears are. You didn't have 5 TVs in 1 house. And the families had to sit down. I wish these children don't, they can't relate to this. In my house, it was 9 kids. We used to have to sit down and negotiate what TV shows you're going to watch. Somebody know what I'm talking about. We used to have to, Sister Shankar, we used to have to call out. You'd have to wake up in the morning and say, leave it to Beaver. Father, no bet. You wake up in the morning calling out the name of TV show. And if you couldn't agree, mom and dad would kind of go, all right, you can see this, you can see that. But there wasn't no such thing as going to 4 different rooms, watching 4 different TVs. See, we our kids can't relate to that. Everybody over 40 relate because they grew up like I did. But our children have no context for that. You might as well admit it. I might as well admit it. One reason we're having money problems is because of our excess. Because of our greed. These people were living in a panic-ridden condition. Why were they in such a bad financial shape? Three reasons. Now, this is the problem. This is the reality. I'm going to get to the solution here. First of all, they were having problems because there was a famine. Why was there a food shortage? Why was there a famine in the land? Two reasons. One, because hundreds of people flooded into Jerusalem to help Nehemiah build the wall. You remember it was a broken down city, it was a ruined city, it was an abandoned city. But Nehemiah put out the call, we're going back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Jews wanted to return, so they came in large numbers, but there just was not enough food available to accommodate the largeness of the population. The city had not been tilled and cultivated to meet the demands of the hundreds of people who suddenly flooded in to build the wall. And if you add to the increased demand for food the fact that the whole area was experiencing a famine apparently caused by a drought, therefore you had a serious food shortage problem. And whenever that happens, when food is available, it's really high. Secondly, there were too many taxes that were exacted from them by King Artaxerxes. You see that in verse 4. They had to pay the high taxes. Artaxerxes controlled the known world at the time, and taxes were collected from all who lived in the kingdom. And these laborers, even though they lived 800 miles from Persia, they still had to pay taxes to King Artaxerxes. Usually tax collectors in ancient times exploited taxpayers by demanding more taxes than was called for. Zacchaeus and Matthew were guilty of exploiting people they were collecting taxes from. Then we see in verses 5 and 6 where they had to pay a really high interest rate. You know, interest rates are generally low right now, but you got to have some money to take advantage of interest rates. Lady said to me one day, and it's so true, people who need to borrow money can't, and the folk who can borrow it usually don't need to. Verses 5 and 6, yet now verse 6, and I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. After serious thoughts, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, each of you is exacting usury from his brother. You're charging interest that you shouldn't be charging. So I called a great assembly against them. They were mortgaging home to pay for taxes, to pay for food. And then they failed to pay creditors, and the creditors then would come and take the land and take the children and slaves. So the work on the wall came to a halt as the people became angry. Now, some folks think the Bible is outdated, but doesn't this kind of sound like today? It's everything you're reading about in this text. You got people crying out in Wisconsin and other states about what they consider the government being unfair in how money is being distributed. There were inequities, there were strikes. We're seeing that all over America. Now, how did Nehemiah react to this? Nehemiah reacted with justified anger. Let me say justified anger. Don't get mad at nobody else. Get mad at the situation. Don't get mad at husband, wife, Democrats, Republicans, unions. Don't get mad at anybody, but just get mad at your situation. Because if you get mad enough at your situation, you'll change your situation. Why was he angry? Because the people were violating the word of God by charging this high usury. We don't have time to turn there, but Exodus 22:25 talks about not charging your Jewish brother's interest. Don't act as a creditor. He says, lend without interest. Now, for those who are in a position to help, I'm not talking about a business or investing. But if you got a Christian brother, black, white, red, or green, a Christian sister, and they ask of you help, you can either choose to give it to them or you can choose to loan it to them. But the Bible is here saying if you're giving or loaning money because that person is in need, you should not hold that person to a high interest rate. Now, if you want to declare a business deal and an investment, that's a different story. But meeting the need of another person, the Bible says you treat those in the household of faith differently. Hold your place here and turn to Galatians 6:10 right quick. Galatians 6:10. I want to show you something here that the Bible says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of what? The household of faith. So your Christian brothers and sisters, if God has blessed you with some extra funds to be a blessing. Somebody was saying in men's ministry yesterday about saving money, a blessing fund, just in order to be able to bless somebody. And I'm going to show you, when you bless others, how many of you know God will bless you back? Turn with me to Deuteronomy 23. I want to show you something right quick. Deuteronomy 23:19-20. It says, you shall not charge interest to your brother, interest on money or food. If they're renting your property, if they're late, you could just choose to withgo the late payments. You can be kind to people who are having a hard problem due to the state of the economy. Don't do it on money or food or anything that is lent out as interest. To a foreigner, you may charge interest. Now you got to make money too. But he says, if this is a Christian deal, if this is a family deal, if this is a Jewish brethren deal, don't charge interest. If it's a business deal, declare it that. To a foreigner, you may charge interest, but to your brother, you shall not charge interest. Why? Listen to the why. Why? That what? The Lord your God may do what? Bless you. Anybody want to be blessed today? That he bless you in all to which you set your hand in the land which you are entering to possess. I don't care who you are. You may not have money to give, but you got some service, you got some time, you got some talent. You have something you can bless somebody else with. You don't have to always charge for raking people's leaves, for cutting their grass, for doing them a good deed of service. You don't have to always have your hand up. Sometimes, the old folk used to say, it's just nice to be nice. You're sowing, you're giving, and the Bible says God will bless you back. Anybody want to be blessed today? When I was working on this message, God reminded me that I had the terrible thought. Somebody was sharing a blessing with me the other day, and I was really happy for that blessing. But I began to think to myself, "Well, Lord, you're not blessing me like that. What a horrible thought." I mean, I was happy for that person, but I just had this. I started looking at me. Anybody ever look hear other folk blessing? Then you go on and know where's mine. I admit I had that. That selfish moment of stopping to see, well, what about me, Lord? Which is just a horrible thought. Right. And then God tapped me on the shoulder. You like me, this Barnett Shell deal, in my community they had, I think, 3 years or so to give us some monies, royalty checks, and if they didn't do it, they had to come back and re-up. Well, they didn't get to ours in time, and I'm thinking about, what about my blessing? And the Lord blessed me with a $10,000 check just because they didn't drill on. Can you shout over my blessing? Tomorrow, I'm signing papers. A man is given to me. I've fallen in love with classic cars, old cars. I just fall in love with my wife. Would be driving down the street. She said, pay attention to the road. Whenever I see one, I get all excited. And a man is giving me a 1970 Eldorado Cadillac. Can somebody just shout on my blessing? I was preaching in Houston the other day. And while I was preaching, I just felt prompted in my spirit. Middle-weighted sermon, that was a missionary in the audience that they had presented and mentioned earlier. Middle-weighted sermon, I threw my bill folder to my wife, and I told my wife, I said, give that missionary $300. And my wife gave it to her. And as I was leaving, a man came and put the exact amount of money I give it to the missionary, he put it in my hands. Can somebody just give God some praise? God said, the reason you You want to give so that you can be a blessing. I had to repent of how could, I had forgotten my blessing. How many know they used to sing a song that said, count your many blessings. Some of us are depressed, and some of us are worried because Finkley's getting blessed, and Goodwin is getting blessed, and the Cepeda's are getting blessed. Well, some of us are looking at them, and if we just stop and think about it, how many know you bless yourself? Bless, bless, bless. Somebody ought to shout because you're blessed right now. If you can walk in here this morning, you are blessed. If you can roll in here this morning, you are blessed. If you woke up this morning with your mind stayed on Jesus, you are blessed. If you had a roof over your head last night, you are blessed. Say, it'll bless you going out. Say, it'll bless you coming in. Say, it'll bless you in the city. Say, it'll bless you in the field. Say, it'll bless your uprising. He'll bless your down sitting. He'll bless you at work. He'll bless you at play. Bless, bless, bless. And the Lord told me when I was working on this message, before I got the $10,000 check in my hand, I was just so happy. I went on and paid a double tithe just because I knew it was coming. Now, it took 2 weeks longer to come, so I had to pray that it come on now. But it finally came. It finally came. But I understand that. That how many know God will bless you if you bless him back? If he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. And when I was reading these scriptures, getting ready to preach today, and I saw where God said, the reason you don't charge interest, if God has blessed you in a tough economy, he says, you are to be a blessing. He says, so don't look for those people to bless you back. He says, so I can bless you. God told me to give a tithe again. That's going to be 30% off that $10,000. If I keep going, it's going to be all gone. And that's all just $1,000. So, but I'm talking about a real need. Somebody got a need. God told me somebody has a need. Now, $1,000 might not solve your need. We're going to write it to the place you need it. If it's the light, but if you'll contact the church, I got to be obedient to God. If you'll contact the church this week, amen. If it's you and you got a real need, now we ain't going to pay for foolishness, but if it's a real need, God told me that you just sow one more time. And if you will bless the people, and that go for you too. If you find somebody to bless, everybody ought to run out of here today looking for somebody that they can bless. And the only reason I was not upset with the other person blessing, I just hadn't stopped to chronicle and catalog mine. Somebody ought to stop right now and just think about it. Amen. Chronicle and catalog your blessing. When waves of affliction sweep over my soul, Sister Ann. I love to preach to you because you and I are the only one know these old songs. The rest of them don't know what I'm talking about now. But when waves of affliction sweep over my soul, give them the next line, Sister Ann. Woo, that's so it, girl. Y'all bring me my glasses. And sunlight, hallelujah. I'm preaching to somebody right now that waves of affliction are sweeping over your soul. And sunlight, it looks like you're not going to make it financially. It looks like you're going to be foreclosed. It looks like you're going to be bankrupt. It looks like you're not going to make it. Sunlight is hidden from view. But God sent me to tell you this morning. Come on, Sister Ann, I need you one more time. To what? If ever you're tempted. Anybody tempted to fret? These people were fretting. These people were complaining. But how many of you know you need to move from the complaint window to the claim window? You ought to say, oh Lord, oh Lord, bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Oh Lord. Whenever you're tempted to fret or complain, oh, Suzanne, what are you gonna do now? That's what I had to stop and do. Think of, I was thinking of this other person's blessing. God had me to stop and think of His goodness. Somebody ought to think of His goodness today. I don't care if you're broke. I don't care if you got no money in your pocket. I don't care if your checking account is overdrawn. God has still been good to you. You ought to shout right now. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Shout now. Shout now. Glory! 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 Hallelujah! Burden down, Lord! Burden down! Since I laid my burden down, somebody ought to lay your burden down today. My, my, my. God said He'll bless you. That the Lord your God may bless you. You find somebody to bless this week. Mow the lawn. Cut the grass. Cut the hair free. I got a free haircut yesterday. Be kind to somebody. Wash their car. Encourage them. Bring them a bag of groceries. If you be a blessing, how many of you know God will bless you back? Nehemiah got angry. Nehemiah got angry. I'm angry at poverty. I'm angry at debt. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Oh, Lord, bless you indeed. God bless you. See, the Lord already blessing me, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyhow, in Jesus' name, God, meet every need, oh, God. Do a miracle in her life, oh God. Enlarge her territory, oh God. Oh God, heal her body, oh God. I pray for increase. I pray for answers. I pray for solutions. I pray that the power of God will rest upon her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When I think of His goodness and all He's done for me, when I think of His goodness and how He set me free, I can dance, dance. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy in Jesus. Let me get to this text. Let me get to this text, y'all. Let me get to this text. I'm trying to get to the solution, y'all, but I believe y'all already got it. It's in a blessing. It's in blessing. It's in blessing. Sometimes you have to let it go.
The sermon is just half finished, but listen, I'm not going to try to finish it. I'm going to come back and finish it. But God told me, not only to preach it, and I'm one of them. I'm one of them with financial needs. I'm not giving out of an abundance. I'm giving out of need. The Bible says, and this they did first. They gave themselves unto the Lord and unto us. God told me to pray for the people. Go back to, oh Lord, bless me indeed. And I believe God's going to send some miracles. Where's Veronica? Sing that and go get Veronica. She got a song she's singing. Like, God just told me we need to come and cry out. I'm not ashamed to say, I got needs. I got financial needs. I'm 54. I told somebody at the Baptist church, they try to push out when you get a certain age. Well, if I pay for my mortgage, woo, God bless you, Lady of God. I hope that's for the church. Amen. But if it's me, I'll take it too. Let me see. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. She's blessed in the church. I believe if we cry out to God, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. If they keep going, we'll be able to bless somebody. But I saw myself preaching this, and I saw you and me here crying out, saying, God, we need you. And God's going to meet somebody in need in a marvelous, miraculous way. So if you're one of those persons, don't be ashamed. You may live in a nice house like I do. You might drive nice cars like I do. You might wear nice clothes like I do. But I'm not ashamed because I have some real needs. And if you got some needs, would you meet me here at this altar? We're going to ask the Lord to bless us indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen. Listen to this one sentence prayer. Not a long prayer. How many of you know you don't have to pray long? You just have to pray right. An effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. This prayer has literally changed lives. This prayer had a phenomenal impact on Bruce Wilkerson's life. I've heard Jan Porter say this prayer had a phenomenal impact on his life. He's living by faith now out of this prayer. This prayer can change your life. Listen to the prayer. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Before you call the bankruptcy attorney, before you even call your mama, your uncle saying, I need help. Before you call the church, God told me to bring you to this altar. Somebody need to call on God today. He called on the God of Israel, saying, listen to the prayer. Repeat it after me. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Somebody need an indeed blessing right now. My name on it. My mortgage on it. Somebody need to pay a lawyer. Lady called me last Sunday. Her and her son both illegally arrested. I won't go through the whole story. Didn't have the money for the lawyer that day, but the next day God provided it. And they're going to win this case. It was horrible what happened. I won't go into the story right now. But somebody in this crowd today need money for a lawyer. You need an indeed blessing. Oh Lord, bless me indeed. Father, in Jesus' name, hold up your hand if you need an indeed blessing, for a special need, for just one need. You right now, you're asking God for that one need, maybe a car payment. I don't know what it is. It may be lawyer fees. I don't know what that one need is, but thank you, Lord. People are crying for that one need. Oh, God, they need mortgage relief. I need mortgage relief. God, somebody need food in the refrigerator. Oh, God. Somebody's sons and daughters, because mom and dad are so busy making money, their sons and daughters are going astray. Somebody's praying that one parent could be home, God. I pray for an indeed blessing, a specific blessing to meet a specific need on your people today. God, you did it for Jabez. You did it for Bruce Wilkerson. You did it for Jan Porter. God, won't you do it for every person whose arm is outstretched, every person whose faith reaches out to you, oh God. Give them an indeed blessing. Then, God, bless them so they can then bless others. God, I know you're going to bless them. You told me to preach this and you had blessings. You told me to give and you got blessings waiting on me. Now, God, I pray that you would enlarge their territory, expand their influence for the gospel. Let them go to work tomorrow not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh, God, enlarge their influence, enlarge their territory. Oh, God, let them not cause any harm or pain. Let God cancel the devourer plans to destroy their life. Cancel car wreck, cancel cholesterol, high blood pressure. Cancel the attacks of the enemy. Cancel divorce, oh God. Cancel the plans of the enemies on their life. Cancel the teenage pregnancy in their household. Oh God, cancel the debt. God, I pray in Jesus' name. You move marvelously. You move miraculously. God, I pray for that miracle Veronica just sang about. A miracle. Oh, God. Release and remove the dead, oh, God. Supernaturally bless your people. Oh, God, I pray you give them supernatural relationships. Oh, God, every single woman, every single man that you have called to be married, God, let this be the year of increase for them. Oh, God, let 2011 be the year of increase. Bring the right man, bring the right woman into their life. Bless them indeed, oh, God. I pray we get everything straight. We can't fix what we don't face, oh, God. Some of us are not facing our financial responsibilities. Oh, God, I'm getting old. I don't want to take a mortgage in the old age. Oh, God. We got the same problems the people in the text had. Children, mortgages, food. But we going to shout by faith right now because, God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Hallelujah. All that we can ask or think. You said according to the power that worketh in us. So we ask you right now in Jesus' name to bless us indeed. Bless us indeed. Enlarge our territory. We give your name praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. God bless you. God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching and preaching ministry of Pastor Dwight McKissick from the Cornerstone Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. To purchase this and other teachings from the pulpit library of Pastor Dwight McKissick, call 817-468-0083 or log on to cbcarlington.org, where you'll also find a link to our Facebook page where you can get daily encouragement and information. Once again, thanks for listening to Cornerstone Baptist Church, a ministry built on faith, family, and fellowship.